You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, don't miss the excitement and action live at First Energy Stadium. Now's the first chance to secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. The Browns 5-3, laying the foundation to glory, and you're going to want to be there at First Energy Stadium when it all comes to be. Like I said, a lot of excitement in the town, a lot of buzz after that game. Kind of like what I liked about the 425 game is afterwards, a lot of people kind of hung out around the stadium and the parking lot. I saw my guy Ken Carmen, you know, hanging out a little bit.
Yeah, it's more like a social scene.
There's a little social scene.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's great about it, Cleveland is even getting cooler. We've got, again, you talked, our guy in our review, Joe Jerovicius, was already talking Cavs. You know, Cavs will have to wait till Thursday, but we're still high on the Browns right now.
That's right. It's a Browns town, folks. All right, let's go defensive grades real quickly. Start with the defensive line. And I thought John Hughes, the fact that he is hurt, such a bummer. He has been absolutely dominant, I think, at the point of attack. And certainly this week really stepped up. Again, season low, 71 yards rushing. They gave up just 3.2 yards per carry. And the good thing was after the first two runs, they gave up 44 yards on 16 carries. So McFadden got off to the quick start, and I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
I think everybody was.
And then they kind of stuffed that up. I think it's mainly Kitchen has done a very good job. Sione Fua has played well, filling in Dez Bryant. The D-line in this one gets a solid B from me. They're still not getting pressure. They're still not a force against the pass, but at least they held the point of attack in the run game this week, so that was a massive improvement.
They are. I'm going to go with B2, and I think, you know, you talk about a guy like John Hughes, and he was what I was calling for earlier when we even had a healthy Phil Taylor and, you know, a Taba Rubin inside. I thought we were almost too big and too heavy, and I think when you get a guy like John Hughes, you know, who's actually, I talked him down in the lunchroom, you know, couple weeks ago, he's like, I'm down 12 or 15 pounds. So he got leaner. He's active. What he's doing, he's getting the push. He's able to still take that double team, but he's getting actively using his hands, getting free. You saw him, if he wasn't making the tackle, he was impacting the tackle, meaning maybe the guy runs through his arm tackle, or he's knocking the guy off his stride, and Dansby or Kirksey or Robertson would come clean it up. So for that reason, I give them a B2, and they're improving. The one thing I would like to see is Dez Bryant, a guy who's to me, in my eyes, someone who should be impacting the pass rush, has not so much. But and to make one last point about this D-line, and what I like about them is they're not opening up those rushing lanes inside for a lot of quarterback. If anything, we have guys like Locker escaping the pocket, or Bortles escaping the pocket, which can get fixed. But they're keeping their rush lanes. They're running some games in front. They're active, at least, not allowing that quarterback to just, you know, step up and run right through.
And they did a good job against a big offensive line that had done a good job, certainly, of protecting the quarterback. I thought the D-line did well. And what I've noticed is when I watch John Hughes and I watch Ataba Rubin right now, here's what I see. Ataba Rubin is getting stood up, and then he's getting pushed back. John Hughes is getting low and standing the lineup and just holding. So there may be times that you don't see John Hughes necessarily make the tackle or make the stop himself, although he did plenty of it. He is taking up and occupying two guys, not budging, not ceding anything at the line of scrimmage, allowing these backers to come in and clean up. And that's important to this scheme.
Right. And it allows for the linebackers like myself to scrape free over the top and make those plays. And I know, and again, that's when you see, you know, the guys like Dansby and maybe not Kirksey or even Robertson making a whole lot of money, but a guy like Dansby who is, you know, rewarding those guys up front because he's inching closer to.
You think he's going to give him some of his Montez Renault his skincare products? Check that out. Support Carlos Dansby.
Free plug
for Los right there. He just tweeted out the link if you follow him on Twitter. Montez Renault. Check it out for your skin. Apparently he says it's good. He says, and I'm going to get some of that. I'm going to try it. I'll give you my review of it. But he says, yeah, the ladies will appreciate your smooth face, brother. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
So we'll have that going for us, which
again,
is nice.
Activity in the defensive line is something that John Hughes has given us. And just I did talk to John Hughes yesterday. It's an MCL injury, a non-surgical injury. The MCL actually regenerates itself and heals itself, but probably a 2 to 4 week injury.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with John Hughes there. Hope to get him back on the field quickly, obviously. Let's go to the linebackers now. Paul Kruger back at 100% and just phenomenal.
Career high three sacks.
Got three sacks on a Raiders team that had given up five sacks in their previous six games combined. So Paul Kruger got the job done, also got a nice hit, forced a fumble, couple of hurries. I thought that you didn't see a ton of Jabal Sheard in this game. I didn't think it was necessarily his best game, but did have three quarterback hurries on the day. Barkevious Mingo looked active to me against the run, against the pass. Was the right place at the right time to get a fumble recovery. But really, what Kruger did on the outside was huge. And then you talk about the inside guys. I thought Craig Robertson played a very good game in doses, only 33 snaps, but was impactful, good in coverage, had a pass breakup, had a hurry, had a nice tackle. Carlos Dansby, I mean, this guy brings it every single game. He played phenomenal. He was everywhere. Threw the double bye at you after a big tackle. And Chris Kirksey continues to improve on the defensive side of the ball, making the most of his opportunities out on the field. I think the linebacking group, overall, strong performance once again. They're going to get an A-minus for me.
I'm going to go A-minus as well for all those same reasons. And I think, again, Kruger impresses me. You know, he took advantage of the one sack where they actually turned away from him. And he was you could even see the little hiccup in his step because he couldn't believe that he was unblocked. But his ability to finish those plays, and that's something that I love and appreciate out of this linebacking group, as we haven't seen in many years past, is they're making impact plays. And just to go back and talk about a guy like Carlos Dansby, when we signed him as a free agent, I know a lot of people were kind of like, it was hard to see a guy like DeKual Jackson, who had done so much and been here for so long, leave. But I was enamored because Carlos Dansby is living up to expectation. He is filling that stat sheet, you know, sacks and interceptions and forced fumbles and leadership, and he's practicing what he's preaching in the locker room, and he's got a group of guys that are following his lead.
Well, he was brought here because he is an impact player. Last year, he led all inside linebackers in sacks, interceptions, passes, defense, one of the most highly graded by Pro Football Focus and otherwise linebackers, and this year, he's doing that. Already three sacks on the season. That's second most among all the inside linebackers in the NFL. He's graded out as the second best coverage inside linebacker in the NFL, and he's graded out as the second best overall linebacker in the NFL on the inside. So he is coming in and delivering the goods, and that's what you want when you make an investment in a guy, especially at his age. You need that immediate return, and you're getting that from Carlos Dansby. Now, the defensive backfield, again, continues to be strong. Tashawn Gibson leading the NFL with five interceptions. I thought Joe Hayden easily had his best game of the season. You're not even hearing Buster Screen's name that much, other than the fact that he picked a pass off in two of the last three games, because he's covering phenomenally well. Gilbert playing better. Big pass breakup on a third down on James Jones. Did he get beat a couple of times? Yes. Did he take a bad angle on the touchdown at the end of the game? Yes. But overall, again, another, I think, step in the right direction for him. Kaywan Williams is playing well. Whitner with the fumble that Hayden recovered to jar the ball loose. A for me, the back end of the defense. When I said it's been the defense that has carried this team over the 3-1 stretch, specifically if I was going to drill down, it's been the back end of this defense that's elevated its play to another level.
I'm going to go A as well. And you know, they were my focus group, you know, in our Cleveland Browns Today segments that we've added to the website and the mobile app as well. And I just think I looked for them and kind of asked for them to continue their performance against Jacksonville. We saw Justin Gilbert take steps. We saw, you know, the turnovers by Tashawn and Buster Screen last week. And I just said, they're a group that that plays based on their confidence. And I thought they had a confident week last week against the Jaguars, even in a loss. If they could maintain that level, they would continue that. They did so, and they do have a big challenge this week and some very, very long, you know, strong and physical wide receivers, but they are up for this challenge because I believe they are the most consistent group right now playing their best football.
And they're confident, and I think that has so much to do with it. The way that they feel about themselves as a group, I think, is helping very much, and they'll be taking on a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that in an overtime game was able to only manage 171 yards passing against the Minnesota Vikings, so hopefully they can do well there. Vincent Jackson coming in the game banged up with a rib injury, only one catch for 13 yards last week. Go to the phones now. We've got Rob in New York with us. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Doing
how
well,
are you?
Man.
There was a caller before that said that Hoyer was a great quarterback, and to me, he's serviceable at best. I mean, this is a guy through seven games who hasn't thrown for 300 yards and is only averaging about one touchdown per game. You know, if he hasn't benefited from a great running game and a good defense, I don't think they'll be 4-3 right now. You know, and if the Jaguars pass rush gave him problems.
Yep, and we've been trying to.
The Jaguars pass rush gave him problems.
It certainly did. We've been trying to point that out and point out, you know, be objective about what's going on with Brian Hoyer. I think a lot of good. Some things that have been concerning that have kind of, you know, reared their ugly head the last couple of weeks, and hopefully he can get that cleaned up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. Let's go to Will in Cleveland now. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I was wondering, you know, the kick return stuff. The guy number 15, he seems to be pretty good. Is he only a kickoff returner and not punt returner?
Marlon Moore, you're talking about not only a good kickoff returner, he's maybe one of the best gunners in the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, watching him do that has been phenomenal. Gets down the field as fast as anybody. But I asked him about that in locker room, and I said, are you more a punt returner? He's like, you know, I could do anything, but that's really hasn't been my forte in the past. He's been more of a kick returner only.
Okay.
So I think they're going to go with the Matt Wilhelm special of the safety, no pun intended, Jim Leonard.
But I like I wouldn't give up on Benjamin, man. I think, you know, just keep it up, man, because, you know, he is explosive once he gets it going. I believe that fumble last week, man, it, you know, it's tacky, but he gave it up. But I wouldn't give up on him. And the second thing, when the line seems to be getting pushed back because they don't fire out when they run, they sort of stand up and start to run without getting that initial hit off, then they get bum rushed.
Talking about our offensive line?
Yeah, offensive line.
And
you know, hey, seems like if they would fire out, make contact, you know, push off, then come, you know, into their scheme, because that's what's happening, man. They just sort of, even in the pass block, they stand up, and then the guys, they don't have any initial force. The defense has a force and sort of pushes them back into the backfield.
Will, appreciate the call and the comments, Matt. In the zone scheme, often the first step is a little bit of a sidestep, so it's not necessarily a straight ahead step, right?
Right, correct. It's an angle step. It's not in some when you're running that true outside play, it's a flat step. So yes, it is very lateral, but what you do is you also shift a majority of your body weight to that leg as you then take your next step vertically towards the man that you're going to block. And that, in fact, is when, like, the explosion, the push is kind of happen. And you looked at the first 3-4 games, you know, when we were rushing the ball extremely well, you saw that. And again, I made a specific point to talk about, I believe it was a Terrence West run that, you know, Alex Mack, you know, latched onto a guy, you know, kind of hung on to him as long as he could, let him go, and got up to the second level. So we're missing that initial push, and we're definitely not even like fathoming getting up to the second level to get down those linebackers. Because we saw in Sile Moore and Khalil Mack and those guys, and Burris this past week, they were just running downhill into those running lanes, making impact at 1 yard, in some cases at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and even some cases behind the line of scrimmage, as the Browns had a few runs for losses there. When we return, and now that the grades have been handed out, again, a stronger grading performance for the second straight week for the defense of the Cleveland Browns than the offense. We're looking for that one game where they put it all together, kind of like they did against Pittsburgh Steelers. Wouldn't mind another one of those this
nice.
Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the Gurn Wilhelm. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll be joined by Gerard Cherry, the 3-time Super Bowl champion, for 3 topics with Gerard right after this.